hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. We're going to be talking about Rutherford County this morning, and with us this morning, our county mayor, Joe Carr. Joe, good morning to you. Good
morning, Bart. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here, always.
You've been busy over the weekend, I understand.
I've been busy.
Busy.
Busy. Very busy,
Joe,
Bart.
Is a beekeeper,
I am
among
a beekeeper,
other things.
Yes. So.
That's fun to do, isn't it? Relaxing.
Yeah, for me it is. We're in the middle of the harvest. Mm-hmm. I tend to wait a little longer than most beekeepers to harvest because I want to make sure that the bees have capped the honey. There's a wax capping that they put on it that tells you when you can when it's best to pull. If you pull it too early, your moisture content. If your listeners care, I don't know if you do you care about this, Bart. I just launched into beekeeping. You didn't ask. I don't know why I did that. I apologize. Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, let's don't talk about the county. Let's talk about bees.
Well, you know, beekeepings are an essential part of agriculture. So, yeah. In a sense, we are talking about the county if we want to rationalize the conversation a little bit. But no, you just got to be careful that you don't harvest your honey too early because the moisture content, if it's too high, especially if it's above 18%. Can lead to fermentation of the honey. It's very runny, and it can lead to fermentation, which will then spoil because it hasn't been capped. Once the honey is capped, it is good indefinitely because the moisture content of the honey is now below 18%. And the bees know, because God made honeybees to do just what they do, make honey, they know exactly when to cap the honey, and it's when the moisture content is under 18%. So you're supposed to typically wait till your hives are 90% or more capped. Some beekeepers get a little anxious and a little in a hurry to harvest before they get to that, and you might have a fermentation problem. So I try to wait a little longer. So point being,
is the honey better?
The taste is the same, but the viscosity of the honey is different. And so it's much thinner when it's harvested too early. It's almost watery. Now, it tastes good, but you better eat it quickly because it doesn't store as well because it's still got too much moisture in it.
So right now, this is the ultimate time.
Well, it really depends on each hive.
Each one is different.
Each hive and each apiary is different as to when they cap it. I tend to wait, but I would rather wait too long, because you can't really wait too long, than I would harvest it too early. And so I know that some beekeepers were harvesting into June, middle of June. I've never harvested that early. I typically wait to the end of July or first of August. So, but anyway, it's been real humid. We've had a lot of rain. Mm-hmm. And so that has a tendency to slow down the drying of the honey or the dehydration that we're looking for.
Now, if you were to equate the activities in that beehive to the activities in Rutherford County and what's going on today.
That is a wonderful analogy. How long have you been waiting to use that? That is great. So the county is a beehive of activity, Bart, to borrow that metaphor. And it's a really good metaphor because the colony of bees, everybody thinks that the colony, that the queen runs the colony or the beehive. That is not the case. The queen literally serves at the pleasure of the hive. And if the queen does not perform her duties, and she only has one job, and that is to lay eggs. And if she doesn't do that job, the hive will collectively decide her services are no longer required. And
it's sort of like your job.
It's exactly like mine. It's not sort of like anything. It is exactly like my job. When the collective, the citizens of the county, determine that my services are no longer required, they will make the necessary arrangements to make sure that I'm expelled from the hive. And that's the way it should be. But for a beehive, the workers run the hive. The collective uniformly run the hive. The queen serves the hive. And I just, it's a fascinating thing. But there's so many analogies and life examples that we can take from beehives that it's miraculous. It's really a miracle of God, and I'm grateful that I get to do it.
Well, one thing that's very active in our beehive for Rutherford County right now is the budget. The budget went into effect July 1st, and I think that's going to enable some county employees to have a bigger smile.
Yep, we have. We passed our budget, and I want to thank the county commission with a few minor alterations, which were no big deal, but we passed our budget with a unanimous vote of 21-0, which I am grateful for the county commission, and in particular grateful to Chairman Phillips and his leadership in that regard. Many times, the county commission can be like herding cats, and so Chairman Phillips did an excellent job in that.
Of herding cats,
but getting everybody to understand, you know, that what we had was a good budget, a third year in a row. Essentially, it's not exactly this way, but essentially, for practical purposes, we had a balanced budget, third year in a row. That's never happened. Third year in a row, we've given raises to county employees. That's never happened before in Rutherford County, at least that we can find. And also, because of our balanced budget and because we're taking employees and we're taking a very physically conservative approach to spending money, tenants, and we talked about this, but we received our third AAA bond rating, the second in a space of 30 days. We're the only county, we're one of 54 counties nationwide that have that distinction. So there are 30
nationwide.
So there are over 3,100 counties in the entire
That's
nation.
A lot to be proud of.
And we're one of 54 that have three AAA bond ratings. So I am really, really proud of that accomplishment.
Now, does that mean that things are going well financially and maybe we'll be able to add some additional facilities like the forensic center?
It means we have that capability. It means we are good stewards with our money. It means we have a good savings account for emergencies. It means that we are less likely to borrow money than we were before. And an example, the forensic center is an excellent example of that. That is the forensic center itself is $15 million, but there's another $4.4 million that's part of that project, which includes the site work, a new EMS station, expanded parking for Ms. Kroll at the clerk's office, and those kind of things. So that's going to be between $19 and $20 million, and we're paying cash for that. We're not borrowing the money. We're not raising property taxes. And so that project on Weekly Lane in Smyrna, and let me stop here for a second. Mary Esther Reed and Dave Santucci, the manager and the city council of Smyrna, have been absolutely outstanding in helping us push this across the finish line. I can't say enough about the cooperative way that we work together with Smyrna and Rutherford County. So it's really, really good. But anyway, so that, because of our strong physical posture, financial posture, we're able to just write a check. We're not borrowing the money and we're not raising taxes. We're going to write a check for $19+ million for this project up there to help Rutherford County residents.
Now, we are growing at a record rate. That means a lot of new people are into the county now who have no clue what we're talking about as far as a forensic center goes. Why do we need a forensic center, and what will it enable us to do?
The short answer to that question, and it's the short answer to most any question when it revolves around expanding the infrastructure of Rutherford County, is we are now the fourth largest county in the state. We are still the fastest growing county in the state. And to be candid, we have lagged behind other counties with similar growth or even less growth when it comes to supplying the infrastructure those county residents statutorily by law should expect. One of those things that we're required to do is to perform autopsies. And right now, Rutherford County is the largest county in the state that sends its autopsies that are required by law to Nashville or to some out of the county. And so that's a very expensive line item in our budget. And so by bringing that operation or that capability into Rutherford County, we're not only saving the county residents' money, but we're also creating an opportunity for approximately 20 other counties, according to the State Health Department, to use our facility once it gets operational in 2027. So it's the perfect storm for us to walk through and say we can reduce our budget and we can provide a service to other counties at a cost that saves them money, but also helps generate revenue to us so we can offset those costs.
You had brought this up before, and we have thought about this. If we have something catastrophic happen, an airplane crash, bus crash, anything of that sort, where you have, unfortunately, several fatalities, we don't have a way to keep those people
here.
We
don't have a morgue. St. Thomas, thank you, provides a little space for us.
But
just like a half a dozen or less. But if we were to have a mass casualty event, we would be in a very, very difficult
situation. Is
there
any at Stonecrest?
No.
Not
that I'm aware of. And so what we would have to use is we would have to use refrigerated trailers, and that's unacceptable. And so that's the other part to this.
So this will have
this will have morgue. This will have a storage facility for, we will have our own morgue now.
Now, when we call it a forensic center, it comes to mind those TV shows like NCIS where they're investigating
crimes. That's exactly
crimes.
What it is.
So it's more than just doing a coroner coming in there and doing an autopsy.
Well, remember what an autopsy is for. An autopsy is typically for involves death investigation. Why is there a death investigation? Most usually it's because there's been a crime involved or there's a suspicious death. There are certain circumstances wherein we're required to perform an autopsy. And so the forensic center works very, very closely with law enforcement as a part of that forensic science. Death investigation, that's exactly what it is. We're investigating a death to determine the cause of death, because if there's a crime involved, obviously we want to bring those people who were involved in that crime to justice.
Now, this is a county owned and operated.
Yep.
It's not profit.
That's correct. And we're the first county in the state to have a forensic center that did not receive help from the state. The state, we tried for 2 years to get the state to assist us in the funding of this capital project, just like they did all the other forensic centers in Tennessee. They refused not once. They didn't refuse us twice. They refused us three times. I do not know why, except for the fact that it may become a political issue.
Do you think we are disliked by some people, Rutherford County?
I think our growth, this is pure speculation on my part, Bart, but I think our growth has created a bit of envy on the part of others. And now that we have 3 AAA bond ratings, by doing things ourselves without having Big Brother give us a handout, I think that creates a possibility for more jealousy. But that's okay. We would love to have the state's support. We tried numerous times. I just can't tell you. I sat in front of Governor Lee and asked for support on 2 different occasions. You know, and I mean, nothing. And I don't understand it, other than the politics of the current facility in Nashville was greater than something that we can overcome. I'm hopeful that with a new governor in 2026, that attitude will change.
So that's what we have in front of us. The Forensic Center, when will we be walking into it?
They project it open. It will be the first quarter of 2027. As a matter of fact, I'm glad we're bringing this up, because they started moving dirt on Monday of this past week, and we're now, I think I told you we had to reschedule the groundbreaking, and so we're going to have, I think, the groundbreaking in August, and I will make sure that WGNS is aware of that, because we'd love to have you there.
Love to get some photographs.
Yes.
And sound and
yep, absolutely.
Video the
we
whole
will,
bit.
We will keep, as soon as we get a date locked down, we'll be absolutely tell you and your listeners, because we want the Good Neighbor Station to know that what's going on in Smyrna.
Well, let's move now to from forensics to garbage.
We're always talking trash, aren't we, Bart?
Well, the transfer station opened last month and going strong.
It opened July 1.
Yeah.
And
Well, I guess that's almost last month.
Yeah, it is. We've almost completed a month. And I'm going to, the mayor gets to tell all the doubters, all the naysayers, all the people who said the mayor didn't have a plan, all the people that didn't understand the business plan, who didn't understand what pro forma meant, who couldn't add, I can't wait to say I told you so, because this is, the transfer station is going phenomenally well. And I will have some specific data points after about 3 months where we can discuss specifically what the metrics are of those performance.
Okay. Now, I guess that brings us around to another area, and that is with all of this happening, there are things that that we need to look at. The city has annexed the landfill.
Yeah, the city of Murfreesboro has annexed the Middle Point landfill, so not the Rutherford County old landfill or our transfer station,
which happen to be next to each other.
That's correct, but just the Middle Point landfill.
Okay, so what does that do?
Well, what that does is it allows Murfreesboro to have some additional oversight, which I applaud Mayor McFarland and Darren Gore and the City Council for their vision in this regard, because I think over the last several months, TDEC has had multiple infractions again. Republic has had multiple infractions cited by TDEC again. And so this idea that, as one commissioner said, notably, that they're not the same Republic that they were 7 years ago. They're a good neighbor now. Well, half of that's right. You're right. They're not the same neighbor they were 7 years ago, because they keep getting note violations, and in some cases I think they're worse. And so what this does is this allows the city of Murfreesboro to have some oversight specifically in the area of stormwater runoff, which is a chronic problem out there. When you get a heavy rain, trash literally flows off a trash mountain across Landfill Road into Matthews Lake and is directly then funneled into Stones River. And we've got video of that, and it's just outrageous that Republic continues to have these problems.
What could they do to stop that?
They could provide the appropriate cover. At the end of every day, they're supposed to cover their trash, and they don't do that. They chronically do not provide adequate cover. So when you get a heavy downpour, the trash literally comes off Trash Mountain and flows into a dry creek that crosses Landfill Road directly into Matthews Lake, which then is deposited directly into Stones River. It's a mess.
By the way, I want to let people know WGNS is here to give you both sides of every issue. We want to stay neutral and let you present your information. I want to tell people that the folks at Middle Point Landfill will be here next week to also share and have the same opportunity.
Well, I would like for Mike Clawson or whoever comes to address the video of why they are unable to provide adequate coverage, such that when you have a rain event, and it's not an isolated incident, when you have a rain event, we have trash coming off of the landfill, flowing across Landfill Road directly into Matthews Lake.
Yeah, that's a county road, right?
Yes.
And landfill.
Yeah, and I will be glad to supply WGNS, if they want, the video, video of where that took place. I mean, it's just like, it's irrefutable. So what's their excuse for, and they just, you can go to the TDEC website and you can see where they have multiple violations for inadequate cover. And this is what happens when you don't cover your trash adequately per TDEC rule and regulation.
Is that a different regulation from what they have in other states, or is this a pretty normal thing?
I don't know what other states, how they regulate that, Bart. I would imagine some states, just like anything else, have stricter regulations, and some states aren't as strict. But the rules are there, and we're just trying to get TDEC to enforce their own rules. But it seems to be Republic at this facility is unique from other landfills around the state. And because I've been to other landfills, and those landfills don't have these kinds of problems, and I do not know why.
But why is TDEC being just sort of left aside? They are not paying attention.
I have my reasons for why that's the case, but that's probably a question you would want to ask TDEC.
Okay. Very good. We're going to pause for just a moment. This is an interesting community, the beehive theory.
It's a beehive of activity, isn't it?
It really is. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back, and we'll start taking some questions. If you have a question you want to text to us, 615-893-1450. I know you have questions today. 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, The Good Neighbor Network.
And I would highly recommend Adams Place. It's a place to enjoy life. It's comfortable. The settings are home-like and not sterile. Adams Place is a place they're looking out for you. You feel at home, and I'm very fortunate there's a lot of people here I already knew. To get back to the food, I want to say one thing. The chef does a fabulous job here. I'm Larry Castelli. You know, I would highly recommend Adams Place.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's Drive EV program has resources for members who would like to learn more about all aspects of EVs. MTE is developing programs and educational materials to answer member questions. Learn more at driveev.com.
50 fresh, flavorful seasons at the Rutherford County Farmers Market.
You bringing your tomatoes this Friday?
Sure am. Pick fresh this morning.
And I'll bring the sourdough.
Rutherford County Farmers Market, Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1, at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Right now, there's this big talk of tariffs. So we start looking at where do all of our suppliers get their product from. Even though we're buying it from, and it looks like it's from an American company, but they're getting it from China. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value. When the prices do go up, we have at least a cushion to work off of. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. If you find yourself feeling stressed, come enjoy the benefits of fish in our tranquil aquatics department. Studies have proven that watching aquarium fish can reduce stress and lower blood pressure. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We're trying to give them a place where they can eat with their family that's not fast food. We want to create an atmosphere where we can sit down and just have a good old-fashioned family dinner. But unfortunately now, most people can't do it at home. So, you know, two people are working, the kids' activities. And so what we're doing is we provide that, and we make it affordable. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
A heat advisory is in effect for the forecast area. We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high in the mid-90s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 74. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 79.
We got some good neighbors, and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Put it in writing on WGNS.
WGNS.
AM, FM, online.
Having more fun than you should be allowed to know about.
Be allowed to know about. That's with two E's, Bart.
That's
be
right.
Allowed to know about.
And
that is the if you haven't picked up on the reoccurring theme, Bart.
Bees.
To be or not to be.
That is the question.
But indeed, it is.
So, little things that pop up in life make things happier.
Yeah.
Challenging.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge you have right now with the county? I mean, we've got the forensic center on the road. I saw that the state of Tennessee is opening up a few additional license plate where you get your driver's license and also the whole bit that they're opening up a new one in Antioch,
right?
Which they're sending more people this way.
DMV, yeah.
Are we going to be having any more places to take your test?
Yeah, I think we're looking into that. I'd be honest with you, though, the sometimes it's difficult having the state, especially the DMV, as a partner in one of our buildings. But they do provide a invaluable service to the county residents. And so we're certainly cognizant of that. And to the extent that we can provide those synergy of services that are grouped together so the consumer, in this case, the property taxpayer, can go to one or two places to get those services done, that would be a great thing for us to continue to try to achieve.
Okay. And so right now we have two locations to get
Bart,
your...
No, we got more than that, Bart. We've got on the we got off the square on Walnut. Then we've got one stop out in Blackman. And then we've got...
You can take the test there.
I believe so. I believe so. There's a DMV at the now. Well, no, I take that back. The clerk's office off the square. There, that's not a DMV location. That's just where you get your license plate. The DMV location, though, we still have one off of at one stop, and we have one
Off of Samsonite.
Yeah, off of Samsonite.
And you can get your license renewed at a kiosk.
That's correct.
In the library,
mm-hmm.
the library.
That's true.
Which is easy.
Yeah, it is very easy.
If you don't stand too close to it. I did too close the first, and it just said, stand here and push this button. And I stood there and I pushed the button, and then it wouldn't work.
You got chastised, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Failure to follow instructions, Bart?
Then I realized I was supposed to be way back. Otherwise, it would have on my picture a close-up of my eye.
So what we have is a line from Cool Hand Luke with Steve McQueen, if you remember that movie. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
We have a listener here who's wanting to know about ways to improve travel in Rutherford County. They're wanting to know, they are saying that they live in the county, and they hear the city of Murfreesboro talking about traffic. We're seeing it in the county, too.
Yeah.
What can we do about it?
Well, we've got to make sure. That's what Plan Rutherford, a big part of what Plan Rutherford is about.
Tell us about that, because somebody may not know what that is.
Yeah, Plan Rutherford is a 2.5-3 year project undertaken by the county to get our hands around the growth, to manage that growth in line with the expectations of the type of community, i.e. the county that we want to live in. And so some of that is going to require a little more planning, and hence the name Plan Rutherford. And so one of those big issues with regard to planning for a community that we all can appreciate and enjoy is how do we deal with traffic and congestion? How do we deal with the requirement of educating our K-12 kid population with more schools? How do we address safety and law enforcement, fire and EMS, and a lot of different things? So, but congestion and traffic are a huge component in that. And so hopefully, you know, we're going to be moving this ball forward a little bit and that we can alleviate some of those problems because they're out there.
Here's another one. This is from a person who says that she's from an area that is really catching on with regional airplane flights from one part of the state to another. And she's wondering if that is going to happen in Tennessee, and if so, would Smyrna Airport be a possible
site? The relationship between the county and the Rutherford County Airport is very, very strong. They do. Evan Lester, the new director up there, does a fantastic job. He just took over for John Black, who was up there for years. Great, great team of individuals up there. This is one of those things where Mary Esther Reed and I just were hand in glove on the what that airport brings to the community in the way of economic development and flight. And so, yes, we're always looking for an opportunity to expand the capability of that airport. That airport has an 8,100 foot runway, and then it has another 6,000 foot runway. So it's a hub of commercial activity for the county. And the Middle Tennessee region. By the way, it's the largest general aviation airport in the state, and the fourth largest by traffic in the state, behind Shelby, Nashville, and Knox County.
And it can handle any plane that they can.
It can handle a 747.
I mean, it's an awesome.
That's a big
airport.
Plane.
Yeah. I think people don't realize we have that.
Yeah. And so the Air National Guard is trying to move out of Berry Field and Nashville down here permanently to Smyrna in the, over the next few years. So we're involved in that. There's just a lot going on in the Smyrna community that the whole county and the state can be proud of.
If that happens, how much room do we have left at the Smyrna Airport?
There's quite a bit of room.
This used to be for people who don't know
Seward Air Force Base.
Yeah,
exactly.
An Air Force Base.
That's correct. And so it was Seward Air Force Base was there. My dad, as a matter of fact, flew into Seward when he was dating my mom. That's how they met. So is that through Seward Air Force Base? But it's an incredible asset to this county. And again, Evan Lester and his team and the town of Smyrna do a fantastic job partnering with the county in that.
So that is a real plus. A lot of the major airlines take their planes there to be, worked on.
They get them serviced there, but we also have Hollingshead has a FBO there, fixed-based operations. Mike Hollingshead of Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete has some planes there with some hangars. Azure has a flight hangar there. Great company to work with. They do a lot of charter flights coming out of there. And it's a preferred destination for private aircraft who are going to Nashville. They can actually get in and out quicker coming into Smyrna sometimes than you can flying into Nashville.
Wow. Great facility.
Great facility.
As we look at other places, one thing, and this next person brought up, people don't realize how much lake coastline we have here in Rutherford County.
We have a lot. It's managed by the Corps of Engineers, and Percy Priest Lake is the lake I hope they're referring to. I don't think they're talking about Todd's Lake, are they?
You remember Todd's Lake,
don't you, right?
That's
if
a
you
big
grew
lake.
Up in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, you know about Todd's Lake.
That's where you do all of your heavy fishing.
I used to catch some nice bass out of there a long time ago. But they're talking about Percy Priest, and Percy Priest is managed by the Corps of Engineers. It's called a recreational lake. And so they're very particular about how much water a Consolidated Utility District can pull out of the lake. That's managed by the Corps. And so it touches several counties as well. But, yeah, Rutherford County, Davidson County, Sumner County, Wilson County. I don't think Sumner, but Wilson, they all touch that.
Now, part of Percy Priest is not they have a lot of trees that are in the water, and you can still hit them because the water level varies.
The water level is low, yeah, so especially at winter pool. Summer pool is higher, then winter pool is lower. But, yeah, and during winter pool, boaters have to be careful and make sure they stay in the channel. The bass fishermen typically know where those trees are because that's where they fish. That's where the fish tended to congregate.
Now, is this part of, is Old Jefferson under Percy Priest Lake?
Yes, I believe it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, and Percy Priest, I can...
It's always my grandfather's farm. My grandfather's farm was purchased by the Corps and flooded when they built the dam years and years ago.
I don't remember when Percy Priest Lake came.
Oh, Lord.
But I remember driving on the road that is now underwater
It would have been back in the 60s.
It was in the 60s.
Early 60s is what I'm thinking. Early to mid-60s is what I'm thinking.
And I was a teenager at that point. And teenagers who are just driving
look
for places to go.
They do. They do. And they still do that, Bart.
You're kidding.
Yeah, they still do that.
So we enjoy driving on that road.
Yes.
We will be right back. Stay with us.
All That's News with Matt Lane, weekday afternoon.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Dozens of vendors.
One local tradition.
Plump, juicy tomatoes.
The Farmer's Market. Every Tuesday and Friday, 7 a.m. to 1.
Pick fresh this morning
at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
Farm fresh eggs.
At 315 John R. Rice Boulevard.
50 years strong. Come see why.
WGNS powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Looking to go solar? MTE's Pro Solar program is committed to educating members on the process and helping them achieve their renewable energy goals. Learn more about Pro Solar and your free consultation at mte.com/prosolar.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums,
we have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den.
Good morning. A very minor accident as you come off that ramp from Hickory Hollow Parkway onto I-24 trying to go westbound. Still dragging up through here now on 65 northbound up through Spring Hill, coming out of Murray County into the southern portion of Williamson County. It's bogged down pretty good now on 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane. If you've suffered hail or storm damage recently from some past storms and your roof is giving you some problems, call Independent Roofing Specialist today. Just check them out at irsroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Talk Radio WGNS, putting the power of your free speech into action on air and online at WGNSradio.com.
We have knocked it up to 82 degrees today. Right now, 82. Going to be up to 94 today. But that's going to feel like well over 100.
I walked down here. I mean, you could cut the air. You couldn't cut it with a knife. It's thick out there, Bart. Everybody better hydrate and be careful. I was out pulling hives yesterday afternoon late after I got off work. And, man, I'm going to tell you something. After doing that for 2 or 3 hours, this old man was exhausted.
That keeps you young, though.
I don't know. That killed me, I think. I will tell you, I was pulling honey on, Sunday, and in the space of 1 hour, I had sweated out over 7 pounds. I'd lost 7 pounds in 1 hour through dehydration.
Interesting.
You can get heat stroke pretty quick when you get that dehydrated. So, people, please, please be careful and hydrate. And if you feel lightheaded, sit down, but just take care of yourself in this heat.
And if you're new to the area and you're thinking, well, this is something totally different for this area, we've had heat all along.
And our heat is unlike other heat in a lot of parts of the country because it's very humid. And
yes.
So the effect of that is your body has a hard time perspiring. And so you actually have a more difficult time pulling that water away from your skin so you can continue to be cool. So we don't have a dry heat. We have a very wet heat.
Okay.
A sauna heat.
Drink plenty of water.
Drink plenty of water.
Okay, here's another one. A listener said that she went to the recent Friday Night Live on the Murfreesboro Square. They had porta potties, but they're not as good as the regular plumbing inside the courthouse.
I can understand and appreciate that. And, you and I kind of went around and around about this a couple of months ago. You know, Friday Night Lights and the Murfreesboro First kind of people are responsible for providing those bathroom services typically. And they have relied on the courthouse to accommodate literally thousands and thousands of people. The courthouse is over 150 years old. The plumbing is not set up for that type of traffic. And quite honestly, it got to be, Bart, where chronically every morning coming in on a Monday, we were having massive sewage problems inside the courthouse because people don't know how to take care of that facility. And I had to make the very difficult and unfortunate decision of prioritizing that historic building, which is on a historic register. I had to make that decision, and I hate it, but and quite honestly, if they want to do Friday Night Lights or over at the city center in that courtyard, they could certainly do it there, and I'm sure the city of Murfreesboro would love to try to accommodate them in that regard. But it's one of those things where there's not a good decision here, because anything you do is going to be unpopular.
Our phone number, if you have a question to text to us, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. And this person is asking us about the future of the Goldsteins building. They said you've talked about it and they've seen it moving and they're ready to go to the museum there, but they don't see it happening.
Well, the fact that you...
I think they want it instant.
So the act... this is great. We're going to do another nature analogy, Bart. The activity around the Goldstein building is a lot like a duck on a pond. There's a lot of activity underneath the waterline.
Okay.
There's a whole lot going on. The duck is as cool and as calm. It doesn't look like, except the duck's just moving through the water.
Yep.
But you don't know what's going on underneath.
His feet are going.
And that's, his feet are just going. And that's what we're doing. We hope that we will be making announcement in the coming months, couple of months, on the Goldstein building. We know that the challenge for the county is right now it has the election office in it has building and codes in it, it has codes department, and so there are four different departments, court services, and so we have four or five different departments in there, and that building wasn't designed, like the courthouse wasn't designed for the traffic that it accommodates, and so it's wearing out very, very quickly. We know we're going to have to replace the HVAC system, which is about $1 million in the next couple of years. We know we've got significant problems with the elevator, which is very, very old, that we can't get parts for, which we're required to by ADA laws. We know that we have a roofing problem that's going to probably be another $1 million, and so we're talking about spending several millions of dollars in this building for a purpose for which it wasn't designed. And so now what I want to do is I want to find an administrative building close to the square that I can move those people out and then refurbish the Goldstein building for something more for which it was designed to do, like a museum, like maybe a little convention center, something like that. And so we're hopeful. We are moving with all due haste. It just takes a while.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I guess it was a month ago on this radio station, on this show, another person was saying, I wish we could get with the county and go together and build a building.
Yeah, Mayor McFarland has said that. I mean, I don't know if he was saying that or not, but he and I talked about it.
He did
but
say
the,
it.
But the problem, the challenge that we have, we would be great with that idea. We tried to get...
This is at the old Methodist Church.
Yeah, we also had the problem with that Lineball Library down on Square is attracting homeless population, because to be quite honest, they let them come in there and use their computer services, I guess, which is fine, but we were feeding them off the Square, so the homeless and the indigent population was congregating around Lineball Library, and it was creating traffic issues for families wanting to come on Lineball Library. And so Mayor McFarland and I thought, well, why don't we move the library out into the community, you know, instead of having one 30,000-foot building, why don't we have two 15,000-foot facilities, one out maybe in Blackman and one out in Christiana or in the north side of the city up towards Siegel. And we just couldn't get the board to go along with that. And honestly, the idea was for us to move those Goldstein people into Lineball Library and then to do a better job accommodating the citizenry by decentralizing Lineball Library. The library board just didn't want to do that.
So it's going to stay there,
I guess. But I still have the problem of what am I going to do with Goldstein? So I'm still stuck with that problem. So I'm going to solve it.
I'm
a problem solver. I mean, I'm telling you, there's not a problem that I don't enjoy trying to get my hands around. So we've got a solution. It's just taking a while to execute.
How could the Goldstein building serve as a museum if it can't serve as an office?
How can it serve as a museum?
Oh, because you still have public people.
Oh, the traffic's
entirely. And they still need to go to the elevators.
The traffic is entirely different. We would literally gut the building, because the bones in Goldstein is good. We would literally gut the building. The needs of an
office. You'd start over again inside.
Inside, yeah, and it needs some internal work anyway. But absolutely, the ideas would be totally different, and if we were to convert it to, let's say, the downstairs into a museum, we would renovate it with that in mind. That building was never constructed to do what it's doing. If you wanted to start all over, that would be fine, but that's very, very expensive.
That is what they have done in Louisville, Kentucky. They've taken out the insides of their famous old buildings, left the outsides, so it's historically the same on the outside, but inside it's up to date for codes.
Correct. The problem you have in doing that, it's not, you just don't get to wave a magic wand. And the question is, if we're going to spend 2 years, let's say, hypothetically, let's say we wanted to renovate that building and keep it as an office building, right? Not for historic purposes. Then what we got to do is we got to move everybody out of there for 2 years before we can move them back in. Where am I moving them? Where am I moving all those departments, Bart? That's the
good
problem.
Point.
I can't put them, I can't put up tents. I mean, I have nowhere to move them. And so what I need is I need administrative office space that is built for the purpose of offering those services to the public. That's what it's designed for. And so that's what we're trying to accommodate.
How's the courthouse doing? We've got about a minute and a half left. Does it have any main issues that you're finding in the cupola or anything that...
Yeah, well, we just have the wear and tear, and we got to be constant about that. I mean, we have a budget for the courthouse that Adam Dodd, our maintenance director, administers. Does a fantastic job. But again, we have to be careful about wear and tear on these, especially these old buildings that weren't designed to do what they're currently doing. And we just have to be very, very careful.
And an update on your tree issue where they were spawning off extras from the trees.
The old sycamore is alive and well through the legacy of grafting. And so my understanding from our Carter's Nursery is they're doing fine. And we hope to replace the oak tree that we have there that we planted as temporary in the coming years with a sycamore tree that is straight from the DNA of the old sycamore. So
now, when you
that's
do
still,
that,
that's still the plan.
Will that be a large tree when you plant it, or like 6 or 8 feet tall?
Oh, I hope it's a tree 15 or 20 feet tall,
oh,
Bart.
Okay, big deal.
we go big around here, Bart. Big or go home.
Rutherford County Mayor and beekeeper Joe Carr. Joe, thanks for joining
us. Thank you, Bart. It was a pleasure. You have a blessed day.
You
stay
too.
Cool and dry, people.